Our reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came on the earth. And Noah, with his sons and his wife and his son's wife, went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and of birds, and of everything that creeps on the ground. Two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah, as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of heaven were opened. The rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah with his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons entered the ark. They and every wild animal of every kind, and all domestic animals of every kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every bird of every kind, every bird, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two, of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There are quite a number of 40 days stories in our scriptures. Today for this morning and for the next couple of Sundays, we're moving off from where we began with Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. To listen for what some of these other stories have to show us, say to us, how they might inform our 40-day season of Lent. So here we are this morning with this short excerpt from the Noah story, where Noah, his family, and all manner of animals are entering the ark as God commanded. And then, as the story goes, we hear the Lord shut them in. Click. There's something about hearing that, isn't there, in the context of these particular days that can't help but bring to mind the cruise ship experiences of late, and the growing number of instances of people being quarantined in their homes, in hospital, other isolation units, all manner of people being shut in for a certain length of time. Some by choice, given their particular vulnerability, and others by the mandate of the health authority. Whatever way it comes, it's not what we were counting on. Arriving home from a holiday was going to find us resuming our regular routines. Coming into spring break meant the arrival of family coming to visit, or a much anticipated trip to somewhere warm. Quite apart from travel plans, there are these abrupt cancellations of events, or given the risks, personal decisions to stay home. It's not what we were counting on. This confinement, this restriction of movement, the limiting of our choices, our options, our desires, our activities, our delights. The sense of being pressed in upon. How will we be in this time? What will become of us? Already we're seeing a whole range of responses, people fearing for their lives, becoming fearful of one another, others wondering what all the fuss is about. For some, it's way beyond dealing with inconvenience or disappointment. It's facing job loss and all the fallout from that. It's facing the possibility of losing a loved one or one's own life. For some, there's this heightened awareness of our need to be mindful of one another, caring about each other. How will we be in this time? What will become of us? What might be there for us as we bring the Noah story alongside our own ark experience at this time? Realizing that for some of us these days, it is indeed about being physically enclosed. And for others, it's at least about abiding by and living within certain limits we're not ordinarily subjected to. Whatever our circumstance, how might this part of the Noah story speak to us? Well, the story doesn't actually take us inside the ark. We're given instead to see outside, the rain coming down, the water rising up, and the terrible death and destruction that's unfolding out there. For Noah and company, the ark, it turns out, is a place of safety, of protection, a means of preserving life, not only their own, but life for future generations. So what if we allowed that perspective to enter into our space, into our physical, our emotional space, where resentment or agitation or frustration at the loss of our freedom might be the energies that are bubbling and rising inside us? What might shift for us if in our own confinement it could be seen, even welcomed, for the way it is serving life, even preserving life? Again, the Noah story doesn't take us inside the ark, but what if we were to imagine that Noah and all the others were somehow sensing the death and destruction that's going on all around them? Just as from whatever is our own ark experience these days, we are keenly aware of the death and the chaos and the suffering that is happening around the world. And what if we allowed this knowing to register in such a way that moved us to care, to pray for healthcare workers, for those who are infected, for those who are mourning the death of loved ones? What if our knowing moved us to reach out from where we are with the phone or emails to others feeling isolated? And for those of us not so confined, who needs groceries? Who needs prescriptions to be delivered? How are we mindful of one another? From wherever we are, as our compassion is allowed to grow, what creative ways might we find to respond in love, to lend our aid? Where else might the Noah story take us? It's not hard to imagine Noah wondering, how long, O Lord, how long before this is over? And after days and weeks passed, it's not hard to imagine him wondering, does God even care? Is God even there? Has God abandoned us? These may well be questions that will arise as time goes on, these expressions of deep uncertainty. Not just about when this is going to be over and where it's going to leave us, but more unnervingly, is what's happening, does it even matter to God? Do we matter? It wouldn't be the first time that people asked these dreaded questions. The Psalms, for example, are full of what seem those experiences where people have wondered and waited and waited and waited. Those same people come to find a kind of steadying as they begin to call to mind former times when all seemed lost. And sooner or later, deliverance came. So this practice of recalling, of remembering our own graced history, what if we were deliberate about that practice in the course of this Ark experience, these Lenten days? As it was with Noah, God willing, the day will come when this particular Ark experience will be over and we will emerge into a new reality. What if in and through this time, this strange and frightening time, God is in fact doing a new thing in and through and all around us? How might we allow this time to be a formative, a transformative time for us, among us? In the slowing down that is part of this time, in the spaces that are created because of cancellations or seclusions, how might we build into it contemplative time, reflective time, growing time? What if we didn't just kind of fill it up with distractions that take us away from ourselves, but shaped it in ways that allow for deepening connections with ourselves, with one another, with God? Sounds like the season of Lent to me. For any of us who may have felt that the season was slipping away on us, well, here we are. Here it is. There's this beautiful poem that Lynn Ungar has written that's gone viral, so to speak, in these last few days. You might well have come upon it yourself. In a few poetic lines, I hear her doing something of what we've been doing with the Noah story, imagining how such a time as this could be reframed, allowing us to see it and see in it life-giving possibilities, and so to live well in this time. Here's what she writes. Pandemic. What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel, cease from buying and selling, give up just for now on trying to make the world different than it is, sing, pray, touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has come clear. Do not reach out your hands, reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live.